This is KBNF Regional News. It's Friday, March 7th. I'm Patricia Naft. Authorities have called off the search for now for snowmobiler Anthony Robert Yates, caught in an avalanche in the La Plata Mountains because it isn't safe. Montezuma County Undersheriff Linda Carter said Thursday the snowmobiler is presumed dead and it's not worth risking more lives. More snow is expected over the weekend. The Durango Herald reports Anthony Robert Yates was caught in the avalanche in the La Plata Mountains on Wednesday as he was trying to free a stuck snowmobile. His companions, Chris Sharp, Bryce Rogers, Rodney Rule, and Rod Oliver, all escaped with minor cuts and scrapes after digging themselves out. There was no indication on when the search might resume. Amendment 64, approved by Colorado voters in 2012, legalized the sale and possession of marijuana in Colorado while giving communities in Colorado local control on over whether to allow the commercial sale of marijuana for recreational use. According to The Watch, the Ouray City Council agreed on at its March 3rd meeting to craft ballot language giving voters the power to determine the fate of retail pot shops, related businesses having to do with cultivation, manufacturing products, and testing facilities, and the taxation of these three businesses within the city of Ouray. As The Watch reports, council has three options. They could impose a ban or allow retail pot shops within city limits. The council pursued the third option, which is to impose a moratorium and allow Ouray voters to decide in November 2014. A husband and wife are under arrest and accused of committing the first murder in Aspen in more than 10 years. Nancy Pfister's body was found last week inside an Aspen home she rented to the couple. Accused murderer William Trey Styler had worked as an anesthesiologist in the Denver area. He was chairman of St. Joseph's Hospital Department of Anesthesiology in the 1990s. The couple and their son lived in Greenwood Village until about 8 years ago when Trey Styler came down with a chronic illness and quit his medical practice. Styler reportedly helped his wife in her full-time gardening. She grew Amazonian water lilies and had become known as a world-class expert providing lilies to the Denver Botanic Gardens and the University of Denver. Golden photographer Povey Kendall Acheson spent a lot of time photographing the Stylers' gardens and the Stylers themselves right about time things were going south for them. She described the couple as always a little off. She said they lived flamboyantly in a house whose interior was decorated in all lavenders and pinks with plastic flowers and fake rock water fountains. She said the Stylers acted like good people until their money seemed to be running out. Acheson and the Stylers had a falling out about 9 years ago over photographs she had lent them to use in a printing business they were planning to start. What happened with the Stylers after that is murky, and it's only hinted at in court records. In 2003, Trey Styler sued his former anesthesia partnership, claiming that he had not been compensated for software he had designed to help keep track of appointments. He lost that case, and 7 years later, he sued Denver attorney John Powell, who had represented him in that case and charged him more than $600,000. He claimed Powell had overcharged him, and Styler was awarded $800,000. However, Powell declared bankruptcy, and Styler was unable to collect anything. He'd gone back to court as late as 2012, trying unsuccessfully to recover some of that money. The Stylers were arrested in Basalt on Monday, 4 days after authorities questioned them about the murder of their Aspen landlord. William and Nancy Styler are being held without bond in the Pitkin County Jail on charges they killed 57-year-old philanthropist Nancy Pfister in February. Most climate models paint a bleak picture for the Great Plains a century from now. A new study shows certain invasive plant species will not only be able to withstand climate change, but thrive. KUNC Harvest Public Media's Luke Runyon has more.
The influence of marijuana is being treated by Colorado near Bellevue, Colorado, turns bright yellow. The culprit? A tall, rubbery weed called Dalmatian toadflax.
See, there's these little rosettes. Just this much starts up in the fall.
Nelson pushes aside a layer of brown grass and snow to uncover the hibernating plant. It first shot out its showy golden flowers more than a decade ago on her property where she raises grass-fed beef. The plant is a pain. It crowds out native grasses that her cattle actually like to eat.
And it's such a tough, waxy plant that by the time it really gets going, the herbicide, you just can't get the herbicide in it.
The expensive herbicide is a relatively new weapon for Nelson. It's already cost her thousands of dollars. At first, she tried pulling the toad flax by hand, but the roots go deep and they can quickly regenerate. Then she brought in hundreds of weevils. They burrow deep and weaken the plant, but don't kill it outright. Lately, she's been putting her faith in her steers, convincing them toad flax doesn't taste so bad.
You kind of have to teach them about a new plant. I've gotten some of them to eat some, but in general, that's a hard one.
And each method has only worked marginally well. Nelson admits, so far, the toad flax is winning. As time progresses and climate change takes hold, it's likely to only get worse, not just for Nelson, but for ranchers across the Midwest and Rocky Mountain regions.
Right, there's Dalmatian toad flax.
U.S. Department of Agriculture researcher Dana Blumenthal wanted to know what effect climate change will have on large swaths of grassland. For about 8 years, Blumenthal and his team simulated a possible future climate, warmer and more concentrated with carbon dioxide, in the Wyoming grassland. Under those conditions, Dalmatian toad flax flourished, growing in size 13-fold.
The simplest reason that invasive species are likely to do well under future conditions is that they are pretty much by definition good at dealing with change.
And that's why Dalmatian toad flax could be emblematic of an even larger problem. Invasive species are invasive because they can adapt quickly. Similar studies across the country have shown other nasty weeds like yellow star thistle, red brome, and cheatgrass do well in warmer, more CO2-heavy conditions. But scientists need more data to make solid predictions.
There are going to be cases of invasive species, some of which we care a lot about, becoming much more problematic. And there are going to be cases of invasive species retreating from areas where they now exist. We don't know enough to say how common this is going to be yet.
It's an ecological balancing act, and ranchers face expensive headaches when weeds outcompete native grasses.
We are just treading water at the moment.
Steve Ryder is with the state of Colorado's Noxious Weed Management Program. He says, like managers in most states, his focus is on keeping new weeds out. If he has time left over, he goes after smaller populations that are quickly becoming problems, almost like stamping out spot wildfires. He says he's already stretched thin, and some weeds have gained a foothold.
If climate change is going to accelerate that, then we need to decide whether we're going to accelerate the response.
Back at Ellen Nelson's ranch outside Bellevue, she's formulating this year's plan of attack against Dalmatian toad flax. It'll likely be a mix of herbicide and burrowing bugs.
I mean, maybe we're going to have to learn how to live with some of these weeds. I don't know. That might be heretical to say.
But if the climate gets more and more hospitable to noxious weeds, it's heresy that many of her fellow ranchers will have to get used to. Luke Runyon, Harvest Public Media.
Harvest Public Media reports on farm and food issues and is a collaboration of KUNC and other public media stations in the Midwest. You can find more stories or comment on this one at harvestpublicmedia.org. Stay tuned for the Friday morning music mix with Alan. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.